cafeteria.
Want to join them? Carlton asked.
Are you finished?
He lifted the white plaster cast from the work table. Isn't she a beauty? A lot better than those stereo images the computer generates. He held it out to her, and Doreen took it in her hands.
It is a beauty, she agreed with an approving smile.
The first of many, said Carlton as he took the actual ash-gray fossil and tucked it into a plastic specimen case he'd appropriated from the biology storeroom shelves. He closed its lid with a firm snap.
Let's show it off, Doreen suggested.
Carlton grinned at her. Why not?
Soon the gathering that was spilling beyond the cafeteria's neatly arranged rows of tables was toasting Carlton and his discovery.
The crowd's mood had lifted considerably since the drinking had started. One of the astronauts who had ferried the team in from Hellas loudly insisted on calling the fossil Carlton's clavicle, even when several of the others pointed out that it was actually a vertebra.
Clavicle! The buzz-cut astronaut shouted in a voice that drowned out everyone else. It rhymes better.
Basking in the warmth of their approval, Carlton shook his head and laughed. He saw a tall, gangling Salim Hasdrubal stumbling through a tango with one of the women technicians. How can someone get drunk on fruit juice, he wondered. Sal's a Muslim. He doesn't drink liquor. Maybe black Muslims don't abstain from alcohol. Or maybe fruit juice is enough to set him off. Downing the last of the drink in his hand, he realized that Doreen was no longer at his side. Looking around, Carlton saw that she was chatting with a tall, lean young man who was wearing a denim shirt and chinos. The Navajo kid, Carlton remembered, brows knitting. Billy Greycloud, a computer geek. Suddenly seething with anger, the liquor's warmth fueling him, Carlton marched through the crowd toward them.
Goodbye, Raincloud, he growled.
Doreen looked startled, the Navajo more so.
It's Greycloud, Dr. Carlton. Billy Greycloud, sir.
Whatever. Carlton grasped Doreen's wrist. The A-team has arrived. Go back to your teepee. And he towed Doreen away from the youngster. Greycloud stood there dumbfounded, his coppery cheeks flaming deep red.
That was cruel, Doreen said, barely loud enough over the noise of the ongoing party for him to hear it.
Fuck him, Carlton snapped.
Is that what you were afraid I'd do?
He turned on her angrily.
Now look, if you think...
Just then Chang's office door slid open and the mission director stepped out, with Yvonne Lorenz behind him. Carlton stopped in mid-sentence. All the laughter snapped off as if a switch had been clicked. Everybody froze where they stood. In the abrupt silence, Carlton could hear the soft footfalls of Chang's slipper socks against the plastic flooring. Furtively trying to hide their liquor bottles and flasks, the crowd in the cafeteria melted away before him as Chang strode into their midst, arms stiffly at his sides, hands balled into round little fists.
"Kata Carlton, I too wish to congratulate you," Chang said. "You have made important discovery. You will be honored for it."
Blinking with surprise, Carlton said, "Why, thank you, Dr. Chang."
Would you like some juice?
With the slightest dip of his pudgy chin, Chang said,
Yes, I want to offer toast.
Doreen, standing at Carlton's side, picked up an empty cup and poured a splash of the nearest fruit juice into it, then wordlessly handed it to the mission director.
Chang raised his cup and proclaimed, To Dr. Carlton, may your discovery be first of many. May we uncover village of ancient Martians and learn much about them.
Somebody shouted, hear, hear, but Chang impatiently waved them all to silence.
I am not finished, he said.
Turning to Yvonne Lorenz, Chang went on.
To you who have been forced to abandon your work at Hellas site, I offer my thanks for your toil and my regret that your effort has been terminated. I have added highest recommendations to each of your personnel files.
They murmured thanks. Chang half-turned and gestured to Dr. Lorenz. She was a short, slim Provençal with dark hair that was streaked with gray, a lean face that ended in a pointy chin and eyes the color of a polar sea, Like almost everyone else, she wore coveralls, but hers were carefully tailored to her petite figure. In a low but firm voice, she said,
"I believe we should all thank Dr. Chang for his generous recommendation. I realize most of you are disappointed to be sent home. I know that I myself am."
"I won't miss living in that damn camper," said one of the astronauts. No one laughed. Lorenz said,
"I must admit that our living accommodations were, what is the word?
Rugged. Crowded. Piss poor, especially when the toilets broke down." That brought a chuckle. But Lorenz said,
"No, the word I wanted is Spartan. Our living conditions were Spartan."
"You can say that again. She already did."
"Please," Lorenz said,
making a silencing motion with both her tiny hands.
"Hear me out. Dr. Carlton has asked for 5 volunteers to help him excavate the village. 5 of us may remain here if we are willing to assist Dr. Carlton."
For a moment, no one spoke. Then one of the men asked, "What kind of work would this be?"
"Manual labor," Carlton answered, raising his voice so that they could all hear him clearly.
"For the most part, it'll be digging and hauling a lot of dirt and rock. Not glamorous. Hard physical labor." They looked at one another. Carlton knew exactly what was on their minds. "How will this look on my resume?" He added, "Of course, we'll also be sifting through the digging to look for fossils, even artifacts eventually." No one said another word. They shifted uneasily on their feet, thinking, weighing, pondering. "If any of you wants to talk to me individually," Carlton said, "I'll be happy to go into as much detail as you like."
Lorenz said, 5 of you will be able to stay on Mars. Your work will not be the same as you have been doing, but you may have an opportunity to help uncover great discoveries."
Chang added, "You have 5 days to make your decisions. In 5 days, rocket from Earth will take up orbit above us. By then you must decide if you wish to remain to assist Dr. Carlton or return home."
"Can we get credits in anthropology out of this?" one of the younger men asked.
Carlton smiled at him. "If you like, I'll give colloquia on anthropology." Doreen piped up,
"I might be able to arrange for Selene University to give course credits for working on the dig."
"Very good," said Chang. 5 days to make decision." He put his cup down on the corner of the nearest table and glanced at his wristwatch. "It is late. Past 10 o'clock. We all have much work to do tomorrow."
With that, the mission director turned and walked back through the crowd, heading for his private quarters.
"He is right," said Ivan Lorenz. "We shall have to unload the plane and prepare for departure in 5 days."
The crowd started to break up and drift toward their individual cubicles.
Doreen stood uncertainly beside Carlton. He could see the doubt in her eyes.
Drawing in a breath, he said, "I'm sorry about my boorish behavior. I just didn't like the way that kid was looking at you."
He smiled a little.
"You were awfully gruff with him."
"Maybe," he acknowledged.
"Possessive."
"The word you're looking for is dominant." She didn't reply, but she allowed Carlton to lead her across the floor of the dome to the flimsy accordion-fold door of his compartment. All the others were entering their own spaces, most singly, although there were several couples. Doreen scanned the area for Gray Cloud, but didn't see him. The others pointedly ignored Carlton and Doreen McManus as he stood in front of his door, gazing steadily into her wide, gray-green eyes.
"They're all going to know about this," he said to her, almost solemnly.
She made a little shrug.
"Everybody knows about everybody here. It's okay."
"I'm an accused rapist back Earthside."
"That's 100 million kilometers away," Doreen said.
"He said 83,200,000 clicks as of this morning."
"I checked."
Doreen smiled up at him.
"You want to, don't you?"
He smiled at her. "When love speaks," he quoted, "the voice of all the gods makes heaven drowsy with the harmony."
Holding her arm gently, he slid open the door of his cubicle with his other hand, glad that he